Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 29th, episode 645, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Raise your hand if you have a Rolex hangover. Just raise it right now. That would be me. And I know you guys, too. Were you glued to, because this is the first year because of this wonderful gift that I've been blessed with, such as this child that is growing inside me. I was unable to fly across the country and go see Rolex for the first time in a very long time. And so I felt obligated to sit in front of the computer and watch the entire thing. Now, granted, my feet don't hurt nearly as bad as they would have on a Monday morning following Rolex, but I was just glued to it. Were you stuck to it too?
Yeah, you know, there is one thing about watching it on, like we were doing on USEF Network, especially Cross Country Day, is you get to see more of the jumps than you do when you're wandering around, you know, at the park. Now, there's a certain atmosphere to wandering around at the park. I'll give you that. But we did get to see more of it, I think, watching it watching it there. I used to sit in, for part of the day, I used to sit in the press tent at Rolex because they had all the TVs and were showing the same coverage as you get on your, so you got to see more of the jumps.
Well, there's just something about what I always did is start at the first jump and start walking basically as every horse goes through the whole course. And so you get to see every horse jump every jump. And on TV, man, they don't look as scary as they do because
no.
There is a ditch and wall that you were on TV just seeing the backside of. And when they came up to that ditch and wall, you realize that when you see pictures, there was a huge ditch in front of that jump and it was full of water. Like, I mean, it looked almost like Burley, where their scary Weldon's Wall or whatever they call it. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. So you definitely don't get the depth of how big these fences are and how substantial these are and how unbelievable the efforts are that these horses are making. But you do get to see a lot more and your feet don't hurt. But, man, not sitting and show jumping, feeling the electric atmosphere that happens with everybody holding their breath over every jump and jumping the fences with them and just not seeing Holly Bennett go galloping around like she won the whole thing. You know, just you miss little things like that.
Yeah, definitely show jumping day is always different when you're in the stadium. I got to give kudos to Gina Miles and the whole gang there on Saturday for the commentary.
Wow.
They did a great job.
Really, really did an awesome job. And it was cool to have, you know, you've got Gina Miles, an Olympian, sitting there and coming in and out of the tent. You had other Olympians. Even that morning, Boyd Martin came in and was talking. You had Cameron Smith. You had just
Sinead
every
Halpin
single.
Was there almost the whole day. She did great.
She was awesome. Yeah. It was really exciting. Will Faudry went in for a little while. It was so cool to hear these riders come and go with Gina and get their perspectives on the course. It was great.
Yeah, and it was neat hearing them commentate on the other riders, which you don't ever get to hear them do. So, you know, that was kind of neat. Jennifer's favorite, too, is Doug Payne. I do love listening to Doug, too. He's very intelligent, and he just is a good commentator.
Yeah.
Doug does a great job.
Well, obviously, Andrew Nicholson and Kimbo win the whole thing with, oh, my God, one of the most spectacular black horses I have ever seen in my entire life. What an amazing horse. So congratulations goes out to him. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show besides more Rolex and Derby coverage? Is that it?
That's pretty much it on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition. Thank you. Another Rolex Kentucky three-day event is in the books. As you have noticed, the entire eventing nation is playing armchair eventer this morning, and we are no exception. So we are going to have Samantha Clark, eventing radio show host, stopping by to join the fray. And just like that, crack the whip, we change gears to the 2012 National Handicapping Challenge winner, Michael Baychok, who will be challenging horse players this year to support the long shots in racing. We'll get to hear about that. And next up, Kathy Ritvo, trainer of our favorite racing thoroughbred Mucho Macho Man, is here with an update from her new digs in Fairhill, Maryland. And Wiley, the laugh track of Horse Nation, is here with another week's worth of hilarity.
I think Jennifer thinks that we weren't working hard enough. So she wanted to book more guests to make sure we earn our money's worth here, James.
And
it's a busy couple of weeks in the horse world,
It is a busy couple of weeks.
But I love the fact that we go from Rolex to Derby to Rolex to Derby, like it's all over the place. And then throw in a random Mucho Macho Man update.
All right, here we go. Back to Rolex. All right, we'll go back to Rolex with my daily Winnie. And I just wanted to highlight two of the riders that we've had on our show over the last 2 weeks. Christy Nunnick from the West Coast did very, very well and looked very impressive this weekend on our star. Came in eighth place. She was on our show a couple of weeks ago. And then last week we had Caitlin Silliman, who was riding Catch a Star. Now, Caitlin had a little bit of a tough time, had a refusal in cross country, and then took some rails down in stadium. She was doing pretty well. She was sitting in, like, I think, like 12th or 13th place, but took a downturn yesterday. But still, she has to be pleased with how she did in her first outing with Catch a Star. Came in 24th place. But what an impressive horse to watch. I noticed on Facebook today, you know how every eventer is posting pictures from Rolex that were taken over the weekend, and Caitlin's and her horse Catch a Star are in a lot of them. She just takes an impressive picture.
Well, I mean, it's a gray horse, and the gray horses look so amazing on Instagram. I mean, you can really do them up. But hey, when you are at, let's say, Galway Downs, The top competitors there, the people that you say, oh, so-and-so is going to win it, it's either Christy and R-Star or James Alliston. That is pretty much or Barb Crabo. Those are the names that you hear out here on the West Coast, and I'm just really excited for Christy and R-Star's really awesome mare to place eighth place at Rolex. That's just fantastic.
Yeah, that's in the money, and of course, Andrew Nicholson, first and third, talk about in the money.
No kidding. We'll get to him. We're going to talk to Samantha in just a minute. But let me get my daily mini over with. It hurts. I have to give my daily Winnie to our producer, Jen. Jen, I'm giving it up to you. We did a pick'em contest on Friday, and you weren't allowed to pick an Andrew Nicholson or a William Fox Pitt or a Buck Davison. You had to pick a sleeper pick. Now, she did choose an Olympian, so she did kind of go outside the edges there. But Jennifer picked Will Faudry and Paolo, and she was the highest place pick. Sixth place is where he finished up, so Jen won the pick'em contest. Now, Glenn, you actually came in second because you picked Caitlin, who came in 24th. And I would like to say that my horse, my pick, James Alliston and Tivioli, were right up there until he didn't do show jumping on Sunday. He got spun. So I'm going to ask what happened with that when we get Samantha on the line here. But his other two horses, he finished on both of them. And he, by the way, three cross-country rounds finished for James Alliston. The only other person to do that was like, was it Buck Davidson? So Buck,
I got to tell you, though, I don't know which one he rode second on Saturday, but when he came in, they showed him after the finish on Saturday, he looked exhausted after the second horse. We were both sitting there going, he's got to ride another one yet today? He did look tired. The horse looked tired, and he looked tired.
Yeah, he went first on Parker, so of course, Tuvioli was last, so that was his second horse, and that's the one that I think he had time penalties on. But three clear rounds, three jumpless penalties around cross country, that's absolutely amazing. And Buck Davidson, man, you want to talk about a guy that was riding for his life? Man, that guy was kicking around like you read about. On Mar de Amor, I was like, holy cow, is he flapping his wings to get him over that jump? Like, I mean, it was impressive.
Yeah, and I'm sure when Samantha calls in here, we'll be talking a little bit, too, about Peter Atkins and Run, Henny, Run. You know, a horse that went from almost dying, from him almost losing the horse in a court battle. So he almost lost the court battle. The horse almost died, ended up with an operation, ended up with a long recovery period. And then he comes back, and Peter Atkins with Penny ends up in 10th place. I mean, how cool is that for Australia, the highest-ranking Aussie in this competition?
Yeah, absolutely amazing comeback. What a great story. We'll have to talk to him in the ensuing weeks because he's going to be on a high for a long time. Plus, he did do the helmet cam on H.J. Hampton on Henry. You can see the helmet cam on Eventing Nation. They put it up there already. So, pretty cool.
You saw him playing with it when he first started out. I think it wasn't sticking too good or something to his helmet. And it was funny, the comment. I think it was Boyd that said, he's going to be holding that the whole way and riding one-handed. Because he was goofing around with it when he first started. He does care about that helmet cam. That's how it became popular. You know, let's do that helmet cam.
Yeah, he does. Hey, why don't you go ahead and play the audio with our winner, Andrew Nicholson, and Donna Brothers. We'll try to get Samantha on.
Okay.
Here with Andrew Nicholson, who's getting some applause from the spectators. Andrew, what a great round for Kimbo. You said before, though, that it's not over till it's over, and until you get the stadium jumping behind you, you can't relax. How relieved are you to get that stadium jumping behind you?
Yeah, it's great. Kimbo is probably one of the best jumpers in our game, I would think, and he's very easy to ride, and he's been clear every time, you know, at an international event, which I probably put more pressure on myself beforehand because I know if I have a rail, it's my fault. But, you know, he's saying that, he's still beautiful to ride, so it's quite easy to come in and with a lot of pressure on and just do what he does.
And a nice win for his first start. You have the Grand Slam to look forward to, but right now we're going to do the presentations, and here to do the trophy presentation from the...
And that was it. That was I figured we would want to hear the rest of that. I think we have Samantha on the line. Let me check here. Samantha, is that you? Hello, Samantha.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, there you are. You're on the air, Samantha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Girl, how are you feeling this morning? My gosh, you must be exhausted.
Oh, I'm sure I'm not as exhausted as some of the riders and the grooms and the support crew, but what a fantastic weekend.
It absolutely was. Tell us your overall impression about Rolex this past weekend.
Gosh, I don't know where to start. Kentucky didn't disappoint. We had every single kind of weather, from warm and sunny to begin with, to freezing cold, to torrential rain. But luckily, it didn't interrupt too much of the competition. And
Now, you were out there, you were doing the coverage all over the place. Have you ever seen a horse on day three come out there for show jumping and jump as good as Kimbo did with Andrew Nicholson? I've never seen a horse show jump like that.
He was impressive, which is a little, it almost felt like an anticlimax because it was, I mean, barring any disaster, you knew that he was going to win. And because he'd actually said the horse was bred to show jump in Spain. And he brought the full sister last year, Kwanzaa, and did well on that one too. So we sort of knew that he was going to go well.
Well, as soon as he went out there, I think it was over the first jump, I'm like, oh, yeah, this horse show jumps. He's got it. Like, I mean, there was no question about that he was going to go
clean. Because he had three fences in hand as well.
I know. It was like, there's no way. And then to go clean after all of that was just impressive. Now, what is going to happen next week? I mean, an unprecedented run for the Grand Slam, because nobody's ever competing with somebody else for the Grand Slam. You either win it or you don't. But with badminton being canceled last year, do you think one of these boys can do it, or is it going to be William Fox Pitt, Andrew Nicholson, or Michael Young? Who is it going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we asked William, and he sort of said, here we go. It'll probably end up being neither of us. Michael Young will probably win it. But it could be, I mean, it could be anyone. The field is so competitive this year.
It really is.
You could have an outsider coming.
Does Mary King have some horses going over there? Because she did not have the best run on cross country. It was quite shocking to see. Well, first of all, she was working so dang hard to get around that course, and then to see her pull up was definitely disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of hard luck stories. Emily Bashir pulled her horse out right before the trot up, which he's been going so beautifully all spring, and I was looking forward to seeing him go. I think she would have had a really good run. And then, of course, poor Jenny Brannigan, her groom Jackie was lunging the horse on Thursday morning, shortly before she was going to get on for the dressage, and he got away from her, galloped back to the barns and fell over on the concrete. So she had to withdraw, which must have been heartbreaking.
Now, before we, I know there's more to go. I want to just ask a question about that. How big a trouble is that groom in? Or is it like, oh, it kind of happens, or you ruined my life?
No, I don't think you can blame the groom. I think it's one of those, you know, I think everyone tries their hardest and you try to do everything right, but horses are animals and they're unpredictable, and you can't blame the groom.
What a tough story. And then, you know, I think we had some other kind of hard luck stories. Can you think of any more?
No, but I'm going to tell you some nice, happy stories. We had lots of first timers who rose to the occasion. Donna was there as his rider. Lynn Szymanski has ridden there before, but he was incredibly impressive. Smoked round across country, was the only one, along with William Fox Pitt, to finish on his dressage score, and just looked fantastic. Won the best conditioned horse. He's an off-the-track thoroughbred. That was very exciting. Pirate, another off-the-track thoroughbred, looked fantastic. Emily Renfro, who is the youngest rider, and we spoke to her on the Eventing Radio Show with her coach, Kyle Carter, completed and did a great job and was thrilled. Great to see them go around. Shandis McDonald was doing her first four-star with her horse, Rockfield Grant Juan, who is enormous but gorgeous, and they had a great round. Canada actually had, I think, four people in the top 20, so they had a great show.
Canada was really impressive, and it was really excellent to see so many first timers and so many young people out there doing so incredibly well. It's inspiring, and it gives you hope for the future, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Lynn, who rides Donna, and Megan, who rides Pirate, have both been benefiting from David O'Connor's training sessions this spring.
Yeah,
Sally
I would imagine.
Bracken, that was another beautiful horse with Kristen Schmalti making its four-star debut.
Now, give us a little perspective, because he was my pick to win. I'm a huge fan of his because I'm out here on the West Coast eventing. James Allison had such a great ride on Saturday, just on all three horses. But then something happened and he got spun on Tivoli. What did you see that? What happened? What was going on? Give us the story.
I didn't see him trot up, but I saw him beforehand, and then I saw him a little bit in the holding box, and he just looked a little bit sore. James and Buck, both of them, three clear rounds around the Rolex course. It's pretty impressive.
It's unbelievable that would happen, and for him to be the only horse too that to not pass jog up, that had to be kind of heartbreaking. But boy, he sure had a fantastic weekend. And speaking of Buck, my God, that guy rode for his life, didn't he?
Yeah, it was definitely Buck's weekend. I think he was beating himself up a little bit about the show jumping yesterday, but he should just be proud of everything he did. He was fantastic on Saturday. Did some nice dressage tests. And the two other horses, Ma Demor and Park Trader, are very nice prospects for the future. And, of course, Reggie.
And both his mom and dad were there watching yesterday, and it's rare
said,
for his mom to come out. Yeah.
Yeah, he said how nice it was to have them there. That the Davidsons have always had good luck in Kentucky, and it was very special to have both his parents watching.
Do you think that's tough for him? Because I was watching, and I was watching it on NBC, and you actually, they didn't even pick up on this, but as he's walking out, they're showing him walk out, and I'm like, oh my God, Bruce Davidson is right there. And oh, there's David O'Connor, and there's this whole collection of like incredibly famous eventers, and the NBC coverage just went right on past it. But I'm like, that guy's on a statue right there.
Yeah, legend.
Do you think that there's added pressure for him? I mean, like, he walks by to go down to cross country, and he's like, oh, there's the statue of my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's grown up with it. I think he's used to it by now. And I think he's so focused and such a competitor. But the nice thing is, I think that shows what a wonderful sport eventing was. I spoke to Emily Renfro after she'd finished last night, and she said she couldn't quite believe it, that she was in the barns and walking around with riders that she'd idolized for so long. And then she said that one of them came up to her on Saturday night and congratulated her on her cross country, and she was just thrilled to bits. And I think it's sweet that everyone looks out for each other and helps each other.
I got to bring up one from cross country day, from the whole weekend actually. But Holly Bennett has been on our show a number of times, and her husband as well. And we talked a little bit of last week, Jamie, about Gin and Juice and how Gin and Juice is always juiced up for cross country. And boy, juiced up for cross country was the right term. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, they flew around. She looked like she had little springs on her feet, and then looked like she could do it all over again on Sunday. Well, after she jumped, I think she was clear, maybe. One down.
Clear on Sunday, yep.
Clear on Sunday. After she jumped, the crowd went wild, and Hawley did a sort of lap of honor around it, and it looked like she couldn't pull up, Jimmy. I thought she was going to keep going around for 10 minutes.
She's had such a successful spring out here on the West Coast with that mare. I mean, every single competition she's been in, she's won. So to see her finish so high, I think she finished in seventh place at Rolex in that international spotlight, especially after such a hard deal she had with the Olympic Games, falling off and breaking bones. So she's just done fantastic with this mare. And I kept thinking, there's no way she's going to go to Rolex. This mare is working so hard. And apparently all that training paid off because she really had a great showing at Rolex.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, you know, Hawley and Buck are very close. Buck's been coaching her for a long time. And there was a big California contingent with Jenny Brannigan, who's originally from California, with Ali Knowles, who's from California. And they all helped each other out, and they're all pulling for each other. And it was poor Ali had to retire on course, but she was back out on Sunday helping them both and putting on her game face. I'm very impressed by her.
Yeah. The group was very impressive. Now, speaking of impressive, I know he's a favorite of yours, Peter Adkins. We talked a little bit about him earlier. How proud of Henny are you? What a story that horse has.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he? What a genuine, lovely horse. I think he just looks for the red and white flag so he can jump between them. He could probably go around with a teddy bear on his back. But Peter is also a good rider. I don't want to discredit Peter in any way.
But yeah, a horse that comes back from being stolen out of the barn to then Peter gets him back and then has to put him through colic surgery, and then colic surgery to back at Rolex, finishing in the money in 10th place. Incredible.
And then, of course, don't forget last year he was going to go to badminton and broke his leg the last night.
Right, I forgot about that.
Add something more. my gosh. Yeah, 10th and sit in 10th place, the highest placed Australian rider. I mean, the guy, poor guy. He's had a rough go, and I was glad to see him there. And then to have Boyd and William Fox Pitt both pull up on cross country. But now I'm reading something about how William Fox Pitt broke his finger while show jumping.
Yeah, Sinead said Sinead made a funny tweet. She said he must have seen how well Lynn Szymanski was riding with her broken pinky finger.
Trying to top her. How did he do that? Did you talk to him?
I don't know. He must. He just said he did it in the show jumping. He must have jammed it into the neck or something. I'm not sure, but he had it iced and splintered at the press conference afterwards.
Now most
are you
people.
Heading?
Ride with broken bones. Sorry. And then he just breaks it while he's riding and keeps going. Like if I broke my finger, you'd see me pull. Oh, my God! My finger! And you didn't even know.
No, I know. It's impossible.
Now, Samantha, are you heading to England this week for
badminton
next week?
I'm not going to badminton. I will be glued to my laptop. Jenny Autry is going for Eventing Nation, and she'll do a terrific job. And I think there's so much stuff we can watch online. Horse in Hand will do their live blog again. So, yeah, I'll just be sat in a darkened room telling my kids to leave me alone until it's all over.
What's your prediction?
Well, the mummy.
Who's your pick for badminton?
I couldn't possibly say. I would love Clarkham Universe to do well. I think they will do well. I don't know if they'll win. I mean, it's impossible to pick. And I always pick who I like and who I want. My heart rules my head.
Of course, that's what I wanted. I don't want to pick who you think is going to win. We made our sleeper picks over the weekend, and we called them sleeper picks because we weren't allowed to pick the Andrew Nicholsons and the William Fox Pitts and the Buck Davisons. We had to pick the people that were just a little bit of a guessing game, a little bit of a challenge. So that's how we picked, and we picked kind of with our heart. Like Jennifer picked Will Faudry because he's good looking. Like, I mean, this is how we made choices.
He had the best outfit at the trot up, both days, actually.
Yes, how did he not win?
Yeah, and Caitlin Tilleman, so pleased to see her have a great round. I know you've had her on.
Yes, we have. We have. We're huge fans of hers. So, well, listen, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your impression and anything else from the Eventing Radio Show we need to hear about?
No, I think Joe Meyer, who retired Snip there on yesterday, he will be doing the show this week. So I would definitely tune into that. I'm not even sure what he has in store. And then Jess and I will be back slightly later, because she'll be show jumping, all things being well, on Monday at badminton. And then we'll get a full wrap-up from her on Tuesday and have that ready for the following week.
Sounds great. Well, you guys check out the Eventing Radio Show. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have fun, guys.
Thanks,
all right.
Samantha.
Bye.
Bye.
She's kind of tired.
Gosh. you can't not have a Rolex hangover, and she's probably so sick of Rolex that she can't stand it. But thank you, Samantha, for coming on and talking to us anyway.
Yeah, no, she loves that. She loves running around. Samantha spends most of her time when she's doing her coverage at the warm-up rings, and she gets her interviews and does a lot of her coverage at the warm-up rings. She very seldom actually sees the competition. Now, on cross-country day, she takes her dog. I don't know if you met her dog. But she takes her dog, and they go out on cross country. And I, the one year, tried to keep up with her. Forget that. I couldn't keep up with her. It's like she was like a bunny rabbit all over that course.
Because she was trying to ditch you.
That's what it was, probably. Probably was that. That's funny.
No offense.
All right, very good. Well, let's take a break for our sponsor this day, and that is Omega Alpha Equine. You know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That is why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, digestive tract, kidney, limber functions, muscles, joints, and so much more. See all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or like them on Facebook. They do a whole lot of interesting posts on Facebook, and you can find them on Facebook by searching Omega Alpha Equine, and you'll find them over there. And we, of course, have Dr. Chang on the show here once a month to do his tips on equine health, and we appreciate him doing that as well. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, our next guest is going to be with us in just a minute here, but I did want to ask: is your husband home? Are you safe now? You don't have to do the stalls all by yourself, 9 months pregnant.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad he's home. He came home on Saturday. I was able to go pick him up at the base, and he's here. And immediately put him to work as soon as he got home. Dave,
you better get used to it because you're what, 4 weeks away? About 4 or 5?
Yeah, I'm about 4 weeks away. That's why I'm freaking out. It's like, oh my God, it's May. Like, at the start of June, I have this kid. Like, I'm due June 5th, but they're saying it's probably going to be a week earlier.
So you only have 2 or 3 weeks here.
No, let's go with 4. Don't freak me out.
And then, of course, he's going to be doing all the work for a week or two. So I hope he has some time off coming up.
Yes. Fortunately, being in the military, he does get some paternity leave a couple weeks, so he will be here with me. And then shortly after that ends, my mom will come, and then my dad will fight with my mom on coming what days and when, and then my mother-in-law has to fit herself in, and my sister-in-law is going to come. Yeah, it's going to be a family nightmare, but exciting nonetheless.
You know, it always makes me wonder about new moms, and maybe they do like having the parents come, but I always wonder, do they really want them to come and stay for a month right after you've had a baby? I mean, is that really a good thing? I didn't know. I wasn't sure. We've never.
You know what? That's I can't believe you've thought of that. I'd never thought of that. And then it is unbelievable how stressful that is because my parents hate each other. And so they can't come at the same time, but then my mother-in-law wants to come, but you really need her kind of by herself because she is kind of, she knows everything about babies. It would be like a swirling mess of emotion and disaster if all three, it was like the vortex of death would happen if all three showed up at the same time.
I don't know what would happen. You say, Chad and I are out of here. Baby's diapers are over there. We'll see you in a week.
No, that's when you breast pump the milk ahead of time and you just start drinking. I'm positive.
All right, let's do this. Let's talk to our next guest. We have Michael Baychok on the line.
He's on the line. He just heard me talk about pumping and drinking. That's really embarrassing.
Michael's done some of the drinking part, I think, probably. He is the current reigning national handicapping champion. He won in 2012. This year's National Handicapping Championship has begun. But there's an interesting story behind his championship, and that's why we have him on the line. But first, let's say hello, Michael.
Hi, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good. So you weren't offended by Jamie. I'm sure there's no drinking involved at all when handicapping a track.
I can do two things here. I can talk about horses or as an expert, or I can talk about drinking as an expert. It's up to you.
I like you already.
Michael, tell us, for those of us that aren't quite sure how this all comes about, how do you become a handicapper? Is it a name you put on yourself? Is there a test? Do you have to go to school? You know, what exactly is that?
That's a great question. And I just need to correct just a little bit because I'm not the actual current reigning champion. I'd like to say I'm the immediate past champion, which still has a nice ring to it. But I did win it in 2012, and they've had another fella, Jim Bennis, who won it recently. But nonetheless, I am still a champion. So the question, how do you become, a handicapper? I guess, you know, the same way you learn, you know, almost any other skill, because it is a skill. It's part art, part science. You know, you just apply yourself. And, you know, a lot of it is finding a mentor. You know, sometimes that is your dad or your uncle or, you know, your mother or something, someone to take you to the track as a kid. Or as an older adult, you know, your friends who go to the track and you just kind of get bitten by the bug. And then there really is no course. You know, you can't sign up at college for, you know, a course on how to become a handicapper. So that's, you know, that I think the common thread among people who do this and who enjoy it is that, you know, they have some sort of family connection or friend that brings them to the track, and they just love seeing the horses first, and then they love seeing the numbers that are associated with the handicapping, and then also, you know, just the beauty of the competition, be the horses competing, and then you're also competing against your fellow, you know, your friends and patrons. So that's kind of how I started too.
Now, see, for me, I have severe ADD, so all those numbers just, I'm lost after about 5 minutes. I get bored with that. I pick strictly on names. Now, sometimes I do better than I think the handicappers do just picking on names. So is there really a science to this, or is it part luck, part science?
Well, there's no doubt that there is that there's luck involved. It's a, you know, it is a game of gambling. So any game of gambling has an element of luck. If I had to put, you know, what percentage is luck and what percentage is skill, I don't know that I've ever thought of it that way. But there's certainly some skill. I think I could, hopefully I could outperform you over the long term. If you're picking names or picking colors or, you know, picking the way a horse looks with the skill that I've learned how to apply to trying to pick the horse that's going to run the fastest. And that's
you would beat me.
Well,
me,
I mean, I don't know. I've been going pretty bad lately. I would say over the long term, yes, but over the short term, you could probably outperform me.
You'd be surprised, because I pick horses because I'm like, oh, my God, he's so pretty. And then pretty is as pretty does. They make great future aftercare event horses or hunter jumpers, not so much the racing world. I'm actually like, oh, for like a million. So just trust in the fact that there's one person you would beat all the time.
Maybe so.
Now tell us, what is the National Handicapping Championship? How does that work?
Well, so if some of your listeners may be familiar, because it's been on television, the World Series of Poker.
Yep.
It's much like the World Series of Poker for horse handicappers.
Wait a minute. Let me paint the scene. You're all sitting around a table with your hats pulled down low, wearing sunglasses, smoking cigars?
Everything except the smoking. There's no smoking. But yes, I mean, we're essentially gathered in Las Vegas, of all places, on a weekend, and, you know, 400 or 500 of us who have qualified for this National Handicapping Championship. And the difference is, you know, the World Series of Poker, you can walk up and say, I want to play, and they'll let you play for $10,000. The horse racing handicapping thing, you cannot buy your way in. You have to win another contest sometime during the year. So these 400 or 500 people convene in Las Vegas over a weekend in January, and we, you know, we bet on the races for 2 days. And at the end of the 2 days, whoever has the most money is the champion. And so we do that every year. It's the 14th. There have been 14 champions, and you know, that they pay a lot of money for the winner. I actually won $1 million. Last year's winner won $750,000. So it's lucrative. It's very competitive. There's over 30,000 people trying to get into it. You know, I'm proud to say that a little bit of luck played a part, but maybe a lot of skill played a part in my winning. And that's what, you know, that's how you get to the championship. There's contests online. There's contests at local tracks all over the country, almost every weekend.
Now, Michael, after you won that and you were the champion, could you walk into any track in this country and get VIP treatment? They were putting out the red carpet and giving you the finest of champagne?
Everything but the champagne. I think I had to bring it was BYOB, which I don't mind doing. But yeah, you know, that's one of the perks of it was a wonderful journey for that year. You know, I took full advantage of, you know, going to tracks that I'd not gone to, being, you know, treated like a champion, you know. So it was quite extraordinary, you know.
Now, I got to ask you, what part of the story, we're all horse people, and Jamie owns some OTTBs. We have, and a lot of our audience own off-the-track horses and have put them through to new careers. And you actually won by placing a hunch bet on a claimer horse. Tell us about that.
So it was the last, at the end of the 2 week, 2 days, you know, we were looking at maybe 150 races, and this is the last race of the whole weekend, the last race of the contest, and I was in second place behind, I think, like $12 or $11. So I needed a horse I needed to pick the winner of the very last race, and I also needed that horse to be more than 3-1, so I collected enough money to pass the guy that was in first. So the race happened to be at Golden Gate, and it was for horses that have never won a race in their life for 12,500 claimers. I mean, it was pretty bottom of the barrel, so to speak, at that track. And my little horse named Glorious Dancer, she broke last in a 6-furlong short race, and she ended up just charging the whole race to the lead. And in the very last jump, she put her nose in front on the wire in front of the second place horse. And so I won the contest, won the race by a nose, won the contest by a dollar, and won $1 million. So by a nose and a dollar, I won $1 million. So obviously the horse had some sort of special place, you know, in my heart. She changed my life forever, and I followed her a couple of races later, wanted to buy her immediately, but ended up claiming her when they dropped her down to $6,000 claimer. We ran her a couple of times in California. She won, ran second, and then she came up with just a little bit of an injury. So I really didn't know what I wanted to do with her, so I brought her back to Louisiana. And then I went and visited her, and, my whole future plans for her changed when I saw her. And she had done everything that she needed to do for me on the track and for herself. And, I retired her. And I gave her to Louisiana Horse Rescue Association, and they found her a home immediately. And a matter of fact, so this was maybe 2 months ago. Last week, she competed in her first polo match. So,
cool!
She's a polo pony for a young neurosurgeon living outside of New Orleans, and she has a wonderful home now. She's in a beautiful paddock with a bunch of other horses, and she gets ridden and taken care of it almost every day. So she's actually living, you know, a pretty good life, which is what she deserves.
Well, she's living with some poor, broke neurosurgeon. I mean, gosh, how does he barely afford to feed her?
Right.
I mean, poor thing. Jeez. Wow, what a great story.
Yeah, she's found a great life. I mean, I would have kept her, you know, myself at my house, but the restrictions in my subdivision do not allow horses in your backyard. So. But I still, you know, I visited her, you know, I'll visit her, you know, a couple times a year. You know, I can't wait to go see her again. I think there is a connection, you know. She's a very sweet, you know, sweet horse. And she did everything she needed to do for me on the track. So there was no reason for her to go, you know, race anymore. It's kind of a tough life sometimes.
You know, I think that what you did and, that amazing story right there really does break the stereotype that people have of handicappers, which are these guys with the, you know, all hunched over with the, you know, the hats and the smoking the cigars and, you know, kind of swarmy kind of guys. And I think you're the one that kind of has come out and broken that stereotype.
Well, I must admit that, I'll fit that stereotype. Maybe not the hat and the smoking, but, I fit the stereotype of the handicapper, who really didn't pay attention to what the horses did on the they were just objects, basically. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line in the last, 4 or 5 years or so, that changed. I mean, I've owned horses before. At the Eclipse Awards, where I got an Eclipse Award as the best handicapper of the year.
No way!
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, that's the most awesome thing. And in my speech, you know, I actually called myself out and called other handicappers out as being exactly what you said, is just, you know, we don't do enough for the horses that do so much for us, you know, and challenge them to change their ways, you know, because if we don't, you know, this great game that we love, and the, you know, it's just gonna it's gonna disappear, or it's gonna get smaller. And we actually, you know, as handicappers who do support the industry, if it wasn't for us, there'd be no horse racing. You know, we need to do more. We certainly don't do enough, and I'm not sure that we do hardly anything. In the beginning, at least we can do is just start thinking about what the sacrifices that these horses make for us so that we can enjoy horse racing. And then, you know, the next step would be let's do some more, give some of our money, our time to, you know, aftercare and make sure that these horses are taken care of and don't end up in a bad place when they leave the track.
You know, there's something we do on this show for people who make wonderful statements like that, and you get a little bit of cheering there.
Well, again, I must say I was as guilty as any of the, you know, my fellow handicappers. I really didn't think much about them until I started owning some, and then getting to know a horse is special. Once you make a connection, your life has changed and your thought process has changed totally. So, you know, hopefully, you know, part of, you know, what I've done this past couple of year or year and a half is try to bring that message to people so that, you know, fellow handicappers can take notice of just, you know, of what the horses do for us. So maybe we can just do a little bit more for them.
Well, I am certainly a fan of yours at this point, especially after listening to you talk about the emotions. I do want to apologize for my co-host. I'm sorry he thinks that you are like an actor in a bad 70s movie with your cigars and your hats and your glasses. I don't know why he has that impression, but clearly you are an educated man and you found a home for your horse with a neurosurgeon. So you're connected, and we do appreciate that. Geez, Glenn.
No, that is a stereotype. Isn't it the stereotype, Michael? Help me out here.
Yeah, absolutely. No. I mean, that is, you know, that is the stereotype. And I hope, you know, we're going to, you know, again, I'm trying to improve the business. I want to attract more people to racing because it makes it, you know, a stronger game. I love it so. So we're going to, you know, I'm trying to change that.
Well, you can change it right now by helping Jamie and I win some money this weekend. Who should we bet on for the Kentucky Derby?
Okay, so, I've fallen in love kind of with a horse called Orb. I think he's probably the most likely winner. I haven't felt this strongly about a pick in the Derby, so I'm putting myself out there in a couple of 3 or 4 years. Although I've cashed on the Derby before, you know, recently Animal Kingdom, most recently, but I didn't feel that strongly about him. But I do feel very, very strongly that I think Orb is maybe something special. I'm hoping he is because, you know, I think this sport certainly needs a superstar. I just think that he's going to win. Now, his odds probably won't be, you know, stratospheric like Animal Kingdom 20-1, but, you know, he'll probably be 5 or 6-1, and I expect him, you know, unless something really happens during the race that, you know, prevents him, because it's a lot of luck, as we said before, I think he's the most likely winner of the race to me at this point.
He's actually tied in points, the lead-up points here to the Kentucky Derby with Verrazano, which is a Todd Pletcher horse, and you know, is sitting really at the top right now. His Vegas odds are 6-1. So you're picking one that's at the top. If you had a long shot, because I know you like long shots, if you had a long shot that you were going to pick,
yeah, I think I don't know how long this long shot will be, but I think that it's my lucky day.
I like that name.
There you go. Well, we can agree. I think he'll, you know, he may be 12-15-1, and that's a long shot in my book. And I think that it's going to be I really think it's a two horse race. Now, I've been wrong. You know, I'm wrong more than I'm right. That's the the beauty and the curse of horse racing, you are never right more than you're wrong. So take all this with a grain of salt. And but that's who I will be playing. My own hard-earned, you know, money is going to go on It's My Lucky Day and Orb on the Kentucky Derby.
Well, thank you, Michael. We appreciate you being on. This has been fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be watching for you in the future here, and hopefully you can take the title back in 2014.
Oh, I'd love to. It'd be the first repeat winner or second time winner, and that would be epic.
Well, terrific.
Thank you,
Michael.
All right, thanks, guys. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Glenn, the only handicapper I've ever known personally,
yeah,
it was an anesthesiologist who handicapped on the side. So,
oh, like, really?
Like, that's why I think my impression of them is a little different than yours.
Yeah,
but
you haven't been at some of the seedy tracks I've been to.
I was just riding the horses at that point, Glenn. The seedy tracks. I wasn't
We've
where
been
you were.
Some pretty seedy tracks over the years. And he knew exactly what I was talking about.
All I could think of was Burt Reynolds when you were making your description of,
that's
like,
right. See, there you go.
Like, geez, like a bad 70s movie with Burt Reynolds and the mustache. Like,
there's a lot of truth to that Burt Reynolds character.
Oh, geez. Well, hey, speaking of racetracks and not so seedy racetracks, let's go to our next guest, and I don't know if that was a good introduction or not, but she is one of the classier people on the racetrack, and her name is Kathy Riffo, and she is the trainer for Mucho Macho Man. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
Are you experienced with handicappers? Do you take the approach that I do, where they're normal people or they're you know, bad 70s movie characters like Glenda?
The second.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, even then, because she's been around them probably a little bit more than either one of us. First, how is Mucho Macho Man doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. Back in schedule, and he's doing great, galloping great, and he had good work the other day, and he's feeling good.
Well, I know he was pulled up at the Sunshine Millions in January to potential in what turned out to be a respiratory issue. What happened then, and what kind of setback is that for him, and how'd you fix it?
He actually was pulled up from the Sunshine Moon because he lost his grip and on the racetrack. And then when we came back, you know, he started with a small respiratory issue, and then we cleared that up and decided to start all over again, you know, give him a little time and just start new again, hopefully to have a great rest of the year. So he was on some medication for his, you know, just to clean up some mucus that he had, and he's pretty much been medication free and he's doing great.
It was really cool too, because I follow him on Facebook. And since he posts his own pictures all the time, he was doing some self photos, self portraits of him in pastures up at Fair Hill in the snow. And he just looked incredibly happy. And it must be nice to be able to see these guys be horses for a while.
It is. It's a great place to be. It gives us a lot of options. And the horses, they actually relax, and it's a great place to be. It's a great place for horses.
Now, so he's back to work now. Can you believe that this horse has had, in a year of where it seems like every horse that was kind of in his age bracket in that Derby really didn't progress through the end of the year, or each had problems and each kind of fell out, he is still going so strong. What do you attribute that to?
I you know what, just patience. Mr. and Mrs. Reeves having so much patience and allowing the horse to run when he's ready. And the racing manager, Finn Green, also, you know, just making sure that we run the horse when he's ready. And I think that's the secret.
Well, and I would imagine, you're not going to say it, but a pretty darn good trainer as well, probably listening to the horse.
And the horse, yeah, the horse is very talented too. He's talented and he's sound and he's a big boy. And I think that if we just keep taking care of him, he's going to have a, you know, just a good career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, he's had such a great career.
Yes.
What do you see for him in the future?
We're going to let him tell us when he's ready.
Oh, yeah, so just getting him back to work. And...
Yeah. He's the boss.
Don't tell a man. Don't tell a man he's the boss, ever.
I know. I know. You're right. You are right.
So
now, Kathy, do you have any thoughts? We just talked to our handicapper about this year's Derby. Do you have any thoughts on this year's Derby?
I like Orb.
Boy, he's coming out a favorite here this morning, isn't he?
Really?
Two for two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do you like Orb?
I just like the horse. I love the way that he's developing, and I love the job that they're doing with him. And, you know, I wish everybody luck, but I like the horse. I like the way he looks. I saw him when he ran at Gulfstream. He's just a nice horse.
Now, who's Orb trained by?
Chug
McGahey.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yep. And he's ridden by Rosario, if I remember right, the jockey.
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. Won the Florida Derby, too. Well, good. So we're going to have to take a closer look at Orb here, Jamie. It's not one. We've talked about him a little bit, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, I got to ask. So obviously you have a little bit of a cold. Is that because you left the beautiful sunny state of Florida and you're now up in Fairhill?
To come to this beautiful rain, 53 today. Yeah. I think the weather changed. It's chilly, but we've actually had some really nice days up here, so I guess we have to take a few of these.
Yeah. Now, how many horses are in your barn right now with you?
We have 12.
12. Gotcha. And you're planning on staying up there for the entire summer? Are you going to make some travel plans down to Louisville or Lexington? Or well, I guess not Lexington anymore. They're done. But into Louisville or anything?
I believe we'll go to Saratoga.
Saratoga. Good pick.
Yeah.
Good pick. Well, we are so excited to be able to talk to you and get caught up, and I'm so glad that Mucho Macho Man keeps going. I'm excited for when he does go to stud, because he's going to throw some beautiful babies, but keep him on the track as long as you can. I know he loves it, and he seems like he's very happy.
Yeah, he is. He's doing great.
Well, we do appreciate you coming on with us, and please give the Reeves our love. We absolutely adore them. How lucky you are to have such awesome owners.
I am very, very, very lucky.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Thank
well, thank you very
Kathy.
Much, and keep us updated. If you need anything, we'll be happy to send a big bushel of carrots or apples or whatever Mucho Macho Man wants.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
Oh, poor thing. She sounded like she was really trying to get over that cold.
Oh.
Well, let's take a break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to switch gears again, go back from racing back to a little bit of Rolex with Leslie Wiley, who was there on Saturday. They had one of the tents set up for tailgating, so we have to hear how the food and drink went at Rolex as well, get a little bit of the social side of it. And right after this word from Thin Line Global, I thought we'd bring you a little Run for the Roses by Templeton Thompson to get you in the mood. Howdy, everybody. Glenn here. We just finished a terrific series on leg protection that was brought to you by the good folks over at Thin Line Global. If you missed it, go to horsetipdaily.com and check out all four parts. They still have a fantastic coupon for Horse Radio Network listeners for 12% off your next order at thinlineglobal.com. Whether you buy their saddle pads, horse boots, or tack items, everything is 12% off with this coupon code. Just type radio in the coupon section at checkout at thinlineglobal.com.
Tree of a western.
Well, that was Run for the Roses, done by Templeton Thompson, to hopefully get you all a little bit in the mood for this Saturday. You're listening.
No way. No way. That makes me so sad. That sounds like, oh, my gosh. And it can't make, it makes me just think of Barbaro for some reason. And it's Barbaro's 10th. He would be 10 years old today. It's his birthday.
Wow. Okay. That was that long
carry
ago.
On.
You know?
Carry on.
Well, the you're listening to Horses in the Morning. That's Jamie Jennings over there getting all squishy. I am Glenn the Geek, and Jenna, Coach Jen is producing today. And we are sponsored today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can visit them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, now, next up, we have in our jam-packed show today, reporting to us on everything fun in the horse world, and especially all the drinking and shenanigans at the Eventing Nation tailgate party at Rolex. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, guys.
Now, that was on Saturday. Are you still hungover?
I am, but it's more of an emotional hangover. You know, it's like, oh, Rolex is done. But as you pointed out, you know, we've got the Derby coming up. We've got Bad Men coming up. So those are all great, like, hair of the dogs, you know.
Well, tell us about your tailgate. Did you have a lot of listeners or a lot of readers come in, and how'd it go?
We did. Our Horse Nation sister site, Eventing Nation, had its first annual reader appreciation tailgate party at Rolex, which was totally my idea. I love parties. I love horses. So it was like basically my best day ever. I got to play host. And, we had tons of people stopping in all day long, taking advantage of, you know, we had free beer and snacks and, you know, shirts and bumper stickers and games. And I met so many cool people, cool event people from all over the country. So it was tons of fun.
Now, be honest. Did you run out of beer after an hour? We are talking about eventers here.
I know, right? We were prepared because we know about eventers and their beer. And they, I was impressed. They started drinking at, I mean, people were filling up their cups at 10 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
But, no, we did not run out of beer. That was my sort of my worst nightmare. But we actually ended up having a little bit left over. So, it was, yeah, it was perfect.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that that all worked out. And so there will be a second annual Eventing Nation tailgate party.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. Because we'll have to go drink their beer next year, Jamie.
Yes.
Yes. As long as they're not checking IDs at the door, because I'll have one that's about a year old. And you know what? You know what really sucks is I have talked and talked to my husband, and he just will not let me name the baby Rolex. He just won't do it.
That's funny.
Rolex Derby Jennings was beautiful. What's wrong with that? Hello.
It has a ring to it.
Yeah.
Hey, Leslie, before we go on, I have got to compliment you. I just posted it on our Facebook page about an absolutely beautiful, emotional, touching article that you wrote called Dandelions in the Park, Honoring Rolex's Darker Side. And that's kind of a... not even really the correct way of saying the way that this article is, and it kind of touches on emotional moments that you've had at the Kentucky Horse Park, which I have too, and just reading this article, I didn't know you could be serious like that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I have. You never know what is going to come out of my brain next. It could be hilarious. It could be like emotional and deep. It's always an adventure.
I usually think I'm being deep, but I'm not being deep. This is actually really deep. And talk about the quote that when you heard Jimmy Wofford say that kind of inspired this article.
Yeah, when I was walking, doing the cross country course walk with Jimmy Wofford, who of course is a venting legend. At the World Games in 2010 at the Horse Park, and he said, one of the first things he said to the crowd was, they say that there's a dandelion on the course for every heart that's been broken at the Horse Park. And it just got me to thinking, there's, I think when we think of Rolex, we kind of think of, glory and thrills and the people that win it. But there's also, a lot of folks that just go out and they try. And I think that's worth saluting, too. Some people didn't get around the course this year. And, I mean, applause to them, just for getting to that level and putting themselves out there in that sort of incredibly high pressure and challenging situation, and it takes people trying. I think was the point of my article to, that's the flip side. There's going to for people to succeed, there has to be people also failing.
Mm-hmm. I just love that. The poetry of that, where, every time you see a dandelion on the field, it's like somebody's tears, and it's just really beautiful, because how many times as an eventer or as a competitor or as a spectator have you gone around the cross-country course there and been disappointed? And it was just really beautiful. Anyway, I posted it on Horses in the Morning. Glenn, I'll let you get back to the fun, but it's a really beautiful article, and I'm really impressed with your writing skills. Is it really good?
Well, and I saw a rider who got eliminated on course this year, and she was, making that long walk back to the barn that Jamie, you and I have both made.
Oh, God.
On several occasions. And she was so cool. She it was clear that she was fighting back tears, and that as soon as she got in a place where she was alone, she was just going to completely break down. But she was, everybody was clapping for her, and she kind of, gave a little fist, you know, like, you know, we gave it our best and smiled and waved. And it was just, it was like, you know, that's what it's all about, I think. As much
yeah,
as
you guys,
funny.
You guys have made that walk without the 50,000 people watching.
Without anybody applauding us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They were like, get out of the way, get out of the way, you're in the track. You know, that's what I get yelled at.
I did. I liked one of your articles that you wrote there. HN investigates how much does a Rolex cost anyway. During the World Equestrian Games, Rolex had a tent, a very fancy tent set up. And we went in, a couple of us, a photographer and a couple of us that were in the media went in, and we were looking at the Rolexes and everything, and the very pretty nice girl behind the Rolex counter said, do you want to try one of the expensive ones? And I thought, sure, we'll get our picture taken with one of the expensive ones. Now, keep in mind, in the Rolex tent for the entire run of the WEG, there were armed police officers standing inside watching everything that happened. So she called him over, and he actually came over and stood beside us. And
wow.
She got out the $150,000 Rolex, and I got to put it on my arm and take pictures and all that stuff. It's the closest I've ever gotten owning a Rolex. But it was fun to put it on for 2 seconds with the policeman standing there ready to shoot me if I did anything wrong.
That's so funny. Yeah, you know, I was just curious, because, you know, the winner of Rolex wins a Rolex watch. And so I just started thinking, I wonder how much those Rolexes go for. And it looked like, you know, they start out, like, for the cheapest bargain basement Rolex, you know, being new and not the kind that you can buy from a bum on the sidewalk in New York City. About $3,000, and then it just goes up and up and up and up, you know, over a couple hundred thousand dollars. And I actually found one, the most expensive Rolex that's ever been sold at auction. I think it was like sort of a limited production watch. I think there were like, you know, just a dozen of them made. And it sold at auction for $1.16 million. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. I hope it keeps time better than my watch, because mine doesn't keep time.
I was thinking about, you know, if I won Rolex, not that that will ever happen, but if I did, about how I would probably, this shows how classy I am, I would probably take it to, like, the pawn shop, pawn it, and then, like, buy
a Timex?
Yeah, buy a Timex and like a whole bunch of horse stuff or a new horse.
Now, here's the deal with that, and I'm gonna disagree with you, because if you won the Rolex from Rolex, you would definitely keep it. Now, here's where the experience that I have comes in, is that if an ex-boyfriend were to give you something of value like that, say, I don't know, a Rolex or maybe a pair of ridiculously huge diamond earrings, you would then, once you broke up with them, take that to the pawn and then buy something nice for your horse. I don't know,
never,
say a saddle.
Never did that, huh, Jamie?
I'm just throwing stuff out here.
I need to go look and see if Jennifer still has those earrings I got her. I need to check on that.
You're not an ex-boyfriend, Glenn. But
yeah, I know, but I got to check and make sure I'm not going to become one. I got to check that.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Hey, we'll get off of Rolex here a little bit. There, you did one of the most disturbing posts I've ever seen on Horse Nation. It was disturbing. And it's 9 horses with mustaches. And I would guess that most of these have been photoshopped, but maybe not.
No.
This was disturbing.
It was super disturbing. And I do not think, there may be, actually, I don't think any of these were photoshopped,
they're
honestly.
All gypsy. They've got to be all gypsy.
Yeah, there's a lot of gypsies in the bunch, because they just have hair everywhere, right? Like, they just, like, are the hairiest horses.
But these, like, have
the
actual
world.
Long 2-inch, 3-inch mustaches on the very, you know, above their lip, on their nose, below their nostrils. It was gross. I'm sorry.
Gross, right? Well, I saw one picture, you know, on Pinterest or something, and I was like, is this for real? Can horses actually have mustaches? And I started looking into it, and, oh, they can. super creepy.
Yeah. Very, very creepy. But again, I told you, Glenn, we've talked about this before, that the gypsy people, man, the longer random hairs grow, the better in a gypsy. Like, they have hair that comes out of their nostrils like this, but the mustache thing is just so gross. I don't like a mustache on a human. I don't want to see one on a horse. Shave it.
I agree. I'm with you on that one. And I have a mustache and a beard, and I would just...
Yours is connected. You don't have a mustache. If you had a mustache, we would have a problem.
Yeah, just mustaches.
If I had a mustache, I'd look like a 70s porn star. That's what
exactly.
I would look like.
Yeah. You'd look like a handicapper from the 70s, Glenn.
That's right. You're going to have to talk to Jamie about the other article because it's about some horse movie.
What's that?
About the other article about Friday Flicks, Sylvester, you're going to have to talk to her about that.
Oh,
right?
Sylvester!
It's some horse movie.
I bet that's like Jamie's favorite movie. If I didn't already know that your favorite movie is Man from Snowy River, right?
That is correct. But, oh my gosh, can you get any better than finding a wild horse that is a cow horse and taking moonlight dressage lessons and then going to Rolex to win the preliminary championships? I mean, come on.
They give everybody, all of us, hope growing up.
Yes, it does.
Now, I will she did a review, your movie reviewer did a review on your website, and there was one comment on this, and it was this: I have seen this movie. It was awful. That's the one comment.
How dare you? What person on here had no childhood? Who had no childhood and has no soul? How could you dislike Sylvester? I mean, it's an eventing movie. It's fantastic. I mean, it's awful, but it's fantastic because of that. And why is it always to, like, save the family farm? You've got to have to win the big championship to save the family farm.
Always.
Or save the family in this case.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have to be doing pretty well to get to this point in Rolex, especially with all of that extra work. You're probably not going to lose the family farm at that point.
I love the fact that movies like this, it's like you can just, like, it would be me or you, Leslie, signing up for Rolex and going to ride in it. No, it's not like you have to qualify.
No, or be a good rider.
Right. It's like the girl in the movie. It's like her first event, right? She's like, ta-da, here's your shot, Belly. We're going to Rolex.
Let me continue to read from this comment. The horse was good, but the movie, have your barf bag ready.
Oh, who said that?
Sorry.
I don't know.
You need to moderate your comments a little better, Leslie, okay?
Sorry.
I wrote
it. Trying to stir the pot.
I mean,
thank you, Leslie.
There were no better actors in the 80s than Melissa Gilbert, okay? Seriously.
I don't think there were.
And it didn't matter because they weren't acting in this movie. You could not call this acting.
It was either going to be Melissa Gilbert or what's the redhead from the Breakfast Club?
What about, you know who would have been good in that role was
Molly
the girl
Ringwald
from Dirty Dancing.
Jennifer
she would have been good.
It's win-win. Melissa Gilbert, Molly Ringwald, or Jennifer Gregg would have nailed this part. And Melissa Gilbert got it, and nailed it she did. She won, okay? She won Rolex. Hello.
That's funny. Thank you, Leslie, for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Glad you had a good time at Rolex. And we'll talk to you next week after badminton and the Kentucky Derby.
Yay! Okay.
All right. Horsenation.com. All right, we'll see you, Leslie.
Sorry if I spoiled the movie, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay. It came out in like 1985, I think.
Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert.
I think we can stop with spoiler alerts after it's been out for like 3 months. That's my rule. Hey, I have something for you to help you get in the mood for the Kentucky Derby. It's something I put together last year. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Horse movies, before you get off horse movies, yeah. I saw that. I saw the one with the Snow White movie.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it last night. Pretty good.
Did you like it?
I liked the horses in it. I like Thor. Obviously, the guy who played Thor was in it as well, and he is dreamy, but I just don't like that girl.
Which one?
The star of it. The one who's like the vampire.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm not remembering. It was kind of forgettable. But otherwise, the horses were amazing.
Which, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. What was it? Snow White and the...
I'll find it right now.
What was
Snow White and the Huntsman.
Huntsman, yes, that was what it was. You know, I thought the special effects, did you like the special effect with the birds?
Oh, the bird, the special effects were the best part. That and Chris Helmsman was fantastic. Chris Hemsworth, who, again, played Thor, and Charlize Theron was amazing. But Kristen Stewart, I don't like her. And I also remember the fact that we were talking about this movie, and she was doing interviews, and she hates horses.
That's right. That's true. She did say that, remember?
The whole time I was thinking, I cannot believe that you little beep, you get to ride these beautiful Andalusians galloping on the beach, and you don't even like horses? How dare you not appreciate this?
So she was probably the weakest part of the movie. The woman, who was it that played the... Oh,
Charlize
the bad...
Theron.
Yeah, she pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, she was
well,
really
let's,
good.
We're going to be doing a lot of Derby coverage here on Wednesday and Friday, but I thought I would get everybody started. You're going to get goosebumps when you hear this. This is something I put together for last year to get us started off on Derby Week, and I wanted to play it for you again this year. It's about 2 minutes long, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Starting gate, and they're off in the Kentucky Derby. Record time here in the Derby at the top of the stretch, and it is Congaree who is full out. Here comes Monarchos under a heavy drive on the far outside. Invisible Ink is there. Points given, not today. 1 furlong left. Here comes Monarchos who sweeps the lead. He's pulling away by two. He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez.
Inside an Empire Maker. Funny Side looking to upset the Derby. Funny Side at 12-1 wins it by a length and 3/4. Floundering, they head for home. Lionheart set down to a full out drive. The outside, here comes Smarty Jones. Smarty Jones, Lionheart digs in gamely. Smarty Jones pushing on by. Smarty Jones is taking the lead. Lionheart tough as nails. Smarty Jones is going clear. The unbeaten colt, Smarty Jones, is drawing away to win the Derby. Smarty Jones and Stewie Elliott going on to win. Smarty Jones goes on to win the Kentucky Derby.
Just in case you were not pinging back and forth between Rolex and the Kentucky Derby enough, we wanted to throw a little bit more Derby at the end. I think we should talk Rolex one more time, Glenn. What do you think?
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. I was trying to think of what food I missed over there at the Kentucky or at Rolex.
Oh, stop. I can't take it anymore. Listen, you guys have a great day. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. It's been a lot of fun. I'd like to thank all of our guests for coming on, Leslie and Kathy. Oh, my gosh. It was just so much to process. So we appreciate everybody being a part of today's show. Have a great day. start picking your, making your picks, you guys, for the Kentucky Derby, because we are going to be talking about that as the week progresses, obviously, and we'll see who, see who's going to – let's do a listener pick'em contest. Everybody have your picks by Friday. Whoever wins the race, I don't know, we'll send you a mug.
Or something.
Or something.
We'll send them something. Yeah.
We'll
something,
send them something.
Something. Of course. Yeah.
So
thank you, everybody.
Have a great day.
See you Wednesday.
Thanks.
Hey, tune to Spay, Neuter, Geld.
Spay, Neuter, Geld. Go.
All right. Tune Tuesday tomorrow.